is the Third World War about to break out? We speak to Israel's ambassador to South Africa, Mr. Eli Bolotsikovsky. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. Good morning and happy Jewish New Year. Shana Tova. Today, the Jewish people all around the world celebrate the New Year. Certainly hope that the New Year will be much, much better than the previous.
Well, we have witnessed a missile attack from Iran on Israel. How is Israel likely to respond, sir?
Well, as you know, it's not the first attack, unfortunately. On the 13th of April, we had the previous attack, during which we had 300 cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, UAVs, rockets, and so on. So we had, unfortunately, this experience before. On the 1st of October, we had a second attack in which 181 ballistic missiles were fired at civilian centers in Israel, basically putting in danger lives of millions of Israelis. Well, we were in a way lucky because we had good intercepting systems to prevent the missiles from killing people. And also the population in Israel is very disciplined. They got the instructions and they fulfilled the instructions fully. So the level of damage was very low. But unfortunately, we had one casualty who was a Palestinian man living in a village in the West Bank, who was unfortunately killed during this attack, and we deeply regret it. But it only shows that the Iranian missiles, they do not distinguish between Jews or Arabs or Israelis or foreigners. It's just they're aimed at killing, they're aimed at spreading terror. And this is a situation, of course, we cannot continue to live in such a such circumstances. This is
how is Israel likely to respond?
Yeah, so we will choose the way and the means to respond. Again, we are not fighting against the Iranian people. Let's make it clear: our war is against a Iranian government, a clerical regime. Iran that is attacking Israel incessantly. Although, again, we don't have any quarrel with Iran. We never had any problem, either territorial, natural resources, or any other. But the Iranian regime has declared times and times again that its aim is to annihilate Israel, to destroy Israel. This is their prime target. And, of course, we have to fight back, and we will, and particularly after this attack, which endangers lives of many, many Israelis, we will have to respond, and we will choose the time and the way to do it.
Okay, well, Israel has been fighting for its survival since its establishment. Is there ever going to be peace?
Well, I truly believe that there is going to be peace. And we have seen a lot of progress since the early days of Israel. We have peace agreements with many Arab countries. We have the Abraham Accords that set the basis for further rapprochement between Israel and its Arab neighbors. So we are on the right track. But we have also forces of evil like Iran, like its proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas, and the Houthis in Yemen that are being supported by Iran, that are being armed by Iran, and that serve Iranian purpose of an attempt to destroy Israel. Again, we think that the international community has to unite in order to prevent Iran from achieving its goal, in order to provide strong disincentives for Iran for continuing this kind of terrorist foreign policy that aimed at elimination of Israel. And I think once we have this cooperation and we are moving towards it, I think we will prevent Iran from disrupting any other attempts at creating in the Middle East a peaceful, stable region where people can prosper in order to fight.
Now, in a few days' time, it will be the first anniversary of the attack of 7 October. What is the mood like in Israel now?
Well, it's a sad mood. Just yesterday, we celebrated the New Year Eve. And usually it's a very happy celebration, full of hopes for the new year. But I think this year is different. People are sad. It's a lot of somber mood among families. Everybody is praying for the return of the hostages. We still have more than 100 hostages in Gaza, and nobody knows in what condition they are. The youngest hostage, when he was kidnapped to Gaza almost a year ago, she was 9 months. His brother was 3 years old. We have still some Holocaust survivors, very elderly people among the hostages. And also the memory of that attack, of the very cruel attack perpetrated with some kind of medieval savagery against families, when all families were killed, or children were killed in front of their parents. Parents were killed and murdered in cold blood, and women were violated and murdered. So it was really an absolutely horrible experience, and it affected. And I think many Israelis are still in trauma and still trying to overcome the impact of that experience. It's terrible. It was terrible.
Meanwhile, sir, how do you see the clash of narratives in this war and the role of public opinion?
Yes. Well, this is a very important issue, in my opinion, because what we see here is an attempt to destroy basically the truth. You know, there is a saying by one of the famous Greek playwrights, Aeschylus, who said, in war, truth is the first casualty. And in a way, it's true. And we can see an attempt to particularly in this conflict, at the end of the day, Israel was attacked without any provocation. On the 6th of October, we still tried to live in peace with the people of Gaza. There were many people who worked in Israel. There were many sick people that came to Israel for treatment. We had 11,000, more or less 11,000 sick people. It came from Gaza to Israel to get the medical treatment. We provided Gaza with water, we provided Gaza with electricity. So there was some kind of an attempt for a coexistence. And unfortunately, 7th of October came, this massive, brutal attack on Israel. And today we are in a different situation. And I think, regarding your question about the mood, I think many Israelis are still in a state of trauma. We still need to move to the post-traumatic mood and try to digest and try to heal or start healing the wound. But at the moment, we are still in the trauma period, and this war is going on in the south, in the north. The missiles that have been fired and so on do not contribute, obviously, to the situation. And with regard to the narrative, unfortunately, we are all of us are in a way a victim of an attempt to distort the reality, present what is called today an alternative reality. And we can see that Israel is being accused of occupation, although Israel is not in Gaza since 2004. We had withdrawn from Gaza. It's accused of genocide, although we have in Israel 20% of our people are Arabs. And we had Arab soldiers that were killed in order to protect the communities, the Israeli communities in the south on the 7th of October. So all these slogans, blockade, but Israel, actually, people are maybe not aware of, but Gaza has a border with Egypt, which is not controlled by Israel. So Israel cannot blockade Gaza. I think in South Africa, it's very popular to accuse Israel of apartheid. We have been hearing it over and over again, but Israel is a democratic country. In a democratic country, you cannot have an apartheid. And it's strange that it comes from South Africa, particularly to taking the fact that many South Africans during apartheid times studied in Israel and got scholarship from Israeli government, including the ministers and the South African government. So, and this is something that all these slogans kind of, there is an attempt to steal the show, all these slogans, but it's just trying to distort the reality. The reality is the way it is. We know it. Israel is not occupying Gaza. It has withdrawn from Gaza. Israel is fighting for its survival. And we are going to continue until we can live in peace with our neighbors. That's our only goal, living in peace and letting our children enjoy their childhood and not run to bomb shelters every second day because of attacks.
Now, what is Israel's position on the continued criticism it is getting from international role players and particularly South Africa?
Well, we deeply regret it. I think, again, there is an attempt to kind of present Israel in a negative light. We had seen this for it's been going on for many years. It's difficult to say. Maybe part of it is because of deep-rooted anti-Semitism that still, unfortunately, exists mainly in Europe. Not so much in South Africa, and also some kind of image that the Palestinians have been acquiring as a people under oppression or under occupation or that sort of presentations of the Palestinians. But I think that people have to distinguish that. The war of Israel that is currently waging is not Israel against the Palestinians. It's Israel against Hamas. It's not the war against Lebanon. It's Israel against Hezbollah. And it's not the war against the people of Iran. It's war against the clerical regime of Iran that is trying to destroy Israel. So these are the facts. This is not some sort of propaganda. This is the fact. This is our position. And I think it's true that Israel is having very often it has a very difficult time in the UN and other international organizations because there is a group of countries that are trying to no matter what Israel does, but they're trying to bash Israel left, right, and center. But I think we also get a lot of support, a lot of, we got, after this attack, we got a lot of messages of solidarity, also from many people in South Africa, by the way, a lot of condemnation for the Iranian attack. We had countries like the US and others that stood side by side with Israel during this attack and previous attack. So I think eventually we will prevail, and I think people will understand better the threat that comes from Iran. By the way, not only for Israel, but also for the free world in general, because we've seen Iranian operatives in Europe, in South America. Iran was behind the attack on the Jewish center in Buenos Aires in 94, Israeli embassy in 92. We see that Iran is trying to destabilize the world order. So it helps Russia, it sends missiles to Russia in its war against Ukraine, and so on. So I think the main message here is Iran has to be stopped.
Now, what would you say to people who are living in fear that the next world war is about to break out?
I still think that that the conditions for the world war have not been created yet. I think that there are enough reasonable people, there are enough governments that are democratic, that understand that nobody, this is a lose-lose case, this kind of a war. Nobody is going to gain out of it. We all are going to lose it. It doesn't matter. And I think that the common sense will prevail. And those regimes like Iran that try to destabilize the world order, that try to bring more violence, to use terror as a mean, as a tool to gain more political gains. I think that's if we will manage to prevent them from doing this and to block them, I think there will be no war.
Thank you. That was Israel's ambassador to South Africa, Mr. Eli Blotzerkowski, giving business viewers an update on the war in the Middle East. Thank you, sir. I'm Chris Stein.